In the lesson this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a very important subject, important for our families, important for our young people, important also for our parents as guides to our young people, and that is, I'm entitled, Social Media Confronts the Family. Social media confronts the family. The Bible doesn't give a passage on social media. You won't find that in your concordance anywhere, but there are some principles. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So you see instructions given by God to parents involving children about what is right. That's important to keep in our mind. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Who's responsible for that? The father. What's he responsible to do? Bring his children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Does that mean the wife is off the hook for that responsibility? No, it doesn't. Generally speaking, she's involved very heavily in that responsibility. But whose major responsibility is it? Who does the Lord hold accountable in a family if it's not done? Fathers, right? 10 and 11, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. That's where we all get our strength, from the Lord, right? As fathers, as mothers, even as children. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Why do we need anything from the Bible? Because the devil's after us. Peter called him a roaring lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. And he's after me. We need to not lock ourselves in and think that the devil's only after us in certain ways. He's after us in every possible way he can get us to drift away from the faith, to fall away from the Lord, to deny the Lord, to not give attention to things that we need to give attention to that are very important for our spiritual lives. He's after us. We don't ever need to forget that. So we need to put on this whole armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. You can read and study that and see what all that involves. But the purpose of doing that is to stand against the devil. He's our adversary as we go through life. Now, as we have learned a little bit about history through the years, as we've studied in school, as early as elementary school, maybe some aspects of history, we've seen various things going on among the history of men that didn't sound too good to us. Violent things, harsh things, things that hurt other people. And whatever those things are throughout the history of man, they've had an adverse effect on families. They've hurt families. They've hurt children. They've hurt mothers. They've hurt fathers. Well, what sort of things are you talking about, Brother Smalley? Well, I'm talking about things that governments get themselves involved in, kings get themselves involved in, organized massacre of helpless people, let's just call it that. If I mention the word pogrom, you may not know what I'm talking about. But it's an organized massacre of helpless people. Probably close to our time, and maybe fresh in our memory is what happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and the early 1940s, where government became involved in purposely destroying the lives of people. That was a horrible thing. Violent intimidation and murder of the Jews was not limited to that. Starting in the 19th century, there were a lot of anti-Jewish pogroms in Russia and borderlands of Russia, especially on the eastern Russia, where thousands and thousands of murders and rapes took place against a certain kind of people, a certain nationality of people. You might remember hearing the name Pol Pot if you studied a little bit about Asian history. In Southeast Asia, he was a Cambodian communist leader, and during his reign and during his administration, he oversaw mass atrocities, and it's widely believed that he's one of the most violent despots in modern world history, because even as recently ago as 1975 and 1979, the Khmer Rouge perpetrated the Cambodian genocide, which they estimated took the lives of 1.5 million to 2 million people. You know, one or two is bad, but that many? Well, what does that have to do with the Bible? Well, the same sort of things happened in biblical times. Go back in your mind to Jezebel, the Phoenician princess, daughter of King of Tyre, who eventually married King Ahab of Samaria. And we can read about in 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 29, a little bit about this king named Ahab. He was the son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. He reigned over Israel and Samaria for 22 years, for a good period of time. Ahab, the son of Omri, this is God's word now, telling us facts, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all of those who were before him. Pretty evil character, wouldn't you agree? It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who led God's people and to divide and establish the northern kingdom, and to worship falsely. He married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshiped him. False god, idolatrous god. Like, you change your socks from day to day, don't you, if you wear socks. He takes his Jehovah dedications off and gives them to an idol. Just like that. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Pretty bad fellow. He led God's people astray. What effect did that have on the family? He didn't destroy their physical lives, but he made them commit spiritual adultery against the God of heaven. Now, which is worse? Which is worse, to have your life destroyed by a violent government or to forsake Jehovah and go into the practice of idolatry? What would you say would be the worst of those two? I hope and think that you would agree with me that forsaking Jehovah is worse. Well, what does that have to do with social media and confronting the family? Because we can't talk about all of the negative things that affect families today. Y'all would probably one by one get up and leave, and maybe about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight we'd call it a day. But I can't do that. You can't do that. So we're going to kind of focus in on one thing that's adversely affecting our families today. What is it? Smart devices and social media. This is a familiar picture. You see it all the time. You may see it in your own home. You may see it everywhere you turn. Blessings and new challenges face Christians every day. This is something that's come along in my lifetime. The closest thing to this was in the cartoon strip known as Dick Tracy, where he would get on his rich watch and talk to Dick Tracy, and they would communicate. Walkie-talkies were about the things back in my day to communicate with people, and we never dreamed that it would be what it is today. These are not fads. Social media is here to stay. It's not something that's going to play out after a while like slinky, silly putty, things of that nature that we played with when we were children and we can't find anymore. Amazing feat of technology, truly it is. Even in my own lifetime, when I thought it was great the day my first grandson came into the world, and I called Sheila, who was up in Kentucky, waiting for the second grandchild to come, and I said, "You're a grandmother." And she said, "No, not yet, but I will be in a few hours." "No, you're a grandmother right now." And you know, she wouldn't let me drive up there until I had pictures to share with her. So I had to wait till the 1 hour photo opened and wait for an hour for the photos to be processed so I could leave town and go up there. Fortunately, I didn't miss Cole's birth either. Now you look at that today, some of you young people say, well, that's old school. We can share photographs in a flash, can't we? Is that a good thing? Is that sinful to do that? No. It's a great blessing. It's a good thing. This technological sort of advancement is a good thing. I don't have to look around for my Texas Instruments calculator now because I have one in my pocket that I use on my telephone when I communicate with people. If I need a GPS, if I need a flashlight, who ever thought about putting a flashlight on a telephone? But it's all there now. It's convenient. It's a great blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Lightning fast communication. When something happens on the other side of the world, we can know about it in a matter of seconds if we're watching that very closely. Media just means the transfer of information. Social media is instantaneous, electronic, social communication, sharing of personal information between two or more people. The word Facebook would be a good definition of social media because probably 99% of the people in this auditorium know what Facebook is. Is it wrong to participate in Facebook? That is not what I'm saying. No, it is not. But I want to tell you about some dangers involved in it. There are very many benefits to social media. It allows you to maintain relationships with others. I renewed a relationship with a distant cousin that I have made possible by this little device right here. And I think that's good. It's good to open up those lines of communication again and keep each other encouraged as we go through life. So it allows you to maintain relationships. Business opportunities. It allows you to be educated about things. And of course, it's very entertaining to people as they play games on various kinds of devices. So you might say, well, we live in the best of times, don't we? Yes, in terms of the abundance that we enjoy in this affluent country and the liberty that we have to do what we want to do and share information like we want to. But we also live in the worst of times when it comes to greed that people are displaying and the rampant licentiousness that floods social media. So there are dangers there. The wise family looks to the hope offered by renewed dedication to biblical wisdom, to spiritual knowledge, to righteous understanding. This will help us to enjoy the entertainment media that is available to us without succumbing to the vain imaginings and the temptations that are disguised and presented to us by the devil. Remember, he corrupts and he destroys. When anything good comes along in life, you have to watch out because when you lift the cover, there's the devil at work, trying to twist something around, make something good into something bad. Trying to subvert the thinking of people, trying to corrupt us. You have to remember that. You know, in the past, Western civilization was known as Christendom. You read some history books about Western civilization being North America, for example. Christendom is a word they use a lot. And what they mean by that? It meant that the people that came in this country and began to multiply and create a country of their own were people who upheld conservative values. Now our country is shaped by the mass media of entertainment in many ways that are destructive to spiritual principles found in the Bible. I don't think that's something that you would disagree with. And remember that Solomon said a long time ago, there's nothing new under the sun. Even though it's dressed up and looks in different forms. There's nothing new under the sun. We have to remember to get back to those basics. I want to remind you that family is a result of divine plans. It's a result of a plan and design that God put in place to benefit man, not to punish us, not to make us have a bad life and we don't ever get to have any fun. God put that design in place to benefit us. One passage that we can see straight out of the New Testament is Colossians 3, beginning in verse 18. Wives, be in subjection to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives and husbands want to do what's fitting in the Lord, don't they? Surely. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. You can be bitter toward them, but the Lord says don't. Don't. They're different. Your responsibility is not to pick on those differences and become embittered. You've got to govern yourself. So what do? Love your wife. Do not be embittered against them. Well, what about children? Yes, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Don't you want to appear before the Lord in judgment day and have Him say, I'm well-pleased with you. You did what I told you to do. Very well. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Don't you want to hear those kinds of words from the Lord? We're all going to judgment. Some of us sooner than others, but we're all going. Don't we want to hear words that will bless us? We'll remember those words, won't we? Enter into the joys of your Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Fathers, don't do things to your children that will make them lose heart. You want to encourage them. You want to build them up. You want to help them in every way that you can. Societal changes challenge families with negative tacks against the Lord's design, and this happens every generation among every nation. It's sheer nonsense to suggest that a child can select their own values as they go through life and profit from that in a way that the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's not the way it works. We've seen too many families across our country and in our society where children have been selective about what values they will embrace and what they will reject. It's not turning out good among those. We know it's not. Think of the impact that television had. I know when television first came out, many of us were not alive. But it began to grow. Not everybody had a television set in my father's day. People came from all the way, 5 or 6 blocks away, running to the neighbor's house so they could watch a baseball game. Television. Because not everybody had one. Seems like everybody has one now. Even during my high school days, the formal written complaints sent to the Federal Communications Commission skyrocketed as parents saw what was being presented on the television set, and they saw all of this violence, and they saw things that were sexually oriented in their presentation. And they didn't like it because they were conservative for the most part. Many were Bible-loving people. During those years, conservative advisors in social behavior warned that a steady stream of violence going through the television set and shown to your children as they sat in front of it day after day would have an adverse effect upon our society. Do you know of any adverse effect that's come upon our society as for the past several years we've been flooded with violent images? Were there any school shootings? When someone brought a shotgun onto a school bus in the day that I was in junior high school, No one thought a thing in the world about it because he was in the gun club that meets after school. And they were teaching youngsters how to hunt wild game. Now, if you see somebody bring a weapon on a school bus, pandemonium, right? And he's got a gun! And everybody goes berserk. And with good reason. People are fearing for their lives now. How did that come about in our society? What sort of things influenced for that to be the situation? When social scientists estimate that by the age of 14, the average child has witnessed 11,000 murders on television, not to mention thousands of fights and robberies and muggings and rapes and kidnappings. At that time, the president of the nation's largest advertising agency said this, if children are constantly given models of violent behavior, their behavior will probably turn violent. I think that guy had a lot of sense up here, wouldn't you? If you flood people with something and that's all they think about and that's all they see, probably they'll be that way, won't they? That's why we need to flood our children with righteousness, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So they'll turn out better. He said some other things, but we don't want to confine what we're talking about just to television here because we want to talk to you about this. Smart devices and social media have, in spite of all the positive benefits, they have negatively impacted our families today. Well, you might remember Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're to, by the mercies of God, to present our bodies as holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, it's spiritual service of worship. But notice in verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to this world. You have to be transformed from being conformed to this world. How's that happen? By the renewing of your mind. What do you mean, renewing of the mind? You have to take something out of your mind and put something else there that renews it, that refreshes it, that builds it up, that puts it on the right track. What is that? It's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The words that he spoke are true. They're valuable. Peter wrote in his letter that if we cultivate spiritual things in our lives, we'll never fall away from God. And a glorious entrance will be granted to us as we enter the eternal kingdom after this very short life is over. We're told in the Galatian letter in chapter 5 that we've developed those fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Anybody can do that. Develop the fruit of the Spirit. Well, transformation happens when the mind is renewed by the will of God. Well, what does this have to do with smart devices and social media having a negative impact on our families? I'll tell you in five things if we can. Number one, social media platforms are addictive. I want you to think about that a little bit. That may hit you in the face. And I hope you don't get mad at me for saying that. But that's really a problem for a lot of people. It's addictive. They're designed by their creators to be addicted. Did you know that the tobacco companies put additional chemicals in cigarettes when they sold them that made cigarettes addictive? Did you know that? If you follow a little bit about the history of all of the medical claims that came and they revealed a lot of things that Americans didn't know about what they were putting in cigarettes to deliberately make them addictive. Do you think that's the only industry that makes anything that they sell addictive? Why do you think it's offered to you free? That's a good question. They have designed it to collect data from you and to keep you scrolling. They want you on there. As long as you're scrolling, they can collect dollars from the advertisers. Why do the owners of these various media companies seem to be rolling around in cash? They've got more cash than they know what to do with. Where'd it come from? Why are they doing that? And the more content we post, the more others notice and they sense, I like that. I like that. That's a social validation feedback loop, as it's known in people who study this kind of things. It's designed to be addictive. You ever heard the expression FOMO? For the adult generation that doesn't really know what that means, it's a fear of missing out. FOMO, fear of missing out. And you take on this aura about yourself that if I'm not on here and I'm not looking and I'm not seeing what everybody posts, then I'm missing something. And we can't log off because we might miss something important. And that affects us, doesn't it? It's the currency of social media because it grabs our attention. Many of us would love it if the Holy Scriptures grabbed the attention of people like that. Oh, that would tickle us. We'd be so happy. But there's something working against that. If you get off that platform, then you're no longer noticed. So you become invisible to that world, and therefore, you are nothing. And that would be a problem for you. If you were a person who's trying to, or not even trying, to take on this aura of, I want people to love me. And I become proud of who I am. And it affects my self-worth if I'm not noticed by others, so I need to get back on there. Did you know that 96% of teenagers report using the internet daily? 96, that's almost all of them, isn't it? 46% are on the online almost constantly. 44% of teenagers say they feel anxious without their phones. And adults are not exempt. They use these devices for an average of about 5 hours a day. Wouldn't it be great if people studied their Bibles for 5 hours a day? They boot me right out of here and get somebody up here more knowledgeable to teach the Bible class and to preach because they're studying their Bible five hours a day. Are parents ever distracted by their phones when their children need to talk to them? That's a serious question. Are parents ever using their phones while they're driving? You don't have to answer that. Because we've all seen it when we drive to worship, when we drive home. I saw a city bus yesterday, operated by the city to provide transportation for people for a small fee. They'll take you across town. Driver came through the traffic intersection, both hands on the wheel, but like this. Why are people doing that? Now here's what Paul said about addiction. And it applies to a lot of different things. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but notice, I will not be mastered by anything. Now if that's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me, isn't it? As a Christian, the point of the last phrase is very simple. When it comes to things that are permitted for you to do, that are not required for you to do, you're not forbidden to do them, a person must not be brought under the power of the item that they're using. Would you say people have become addicted to social media? Maybe if you're not making a confession yourself, could you look at other people and say, well, they're addicted. They're addicted to that. You might even think, well, they're on it a lot more than I am. And that may be true. Would you say there is addiction to social media today? Person must not become a slave of some habit which is a liberty to him. But Paul says, you don't want to be mastered by anything. I don't want to be, the only master I want to have is Christ. He's the one that has the right to master us. So, social media platforms are addictive. Parents need to be aware of that. First, for themselves. And then also for their children. Secondly, excessive use of smart devices decreases face-to-face interaction. You want to have a conversation with someone? Don't you love it when you can have a face-to-face conversation with someone? It's a whole lot better than, okay, let me pull your image up here and we'll... Isn't it just back? You can understand what a person's saying if you have a face-to-face conversation with them. Right? You think that's the case? Face-to-face, there's some value in that. Our homes used to be the place where we found this security and face-to-face conversation. And we'd sit down at the supper table at night and we'd all be there. We'd have supper together. But now everybody's in a different place, and if you want to talk to them, you grab your device. Our young children are given electronic devices. Because they're getting on their parents' nerves, and we want them to go away. Be occupied with something else. Here, go play a game. I'm not saying don't ever do what you need to do and allow your children to be out of your way while you do it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if that becomes a habit to us, do not be surprised. When our children come up later on in life, and they say, Mom and Dad, before I go off to school, I got to tell you something. When I get up there, I'm not going to church anymore because I don't believe there is a God. You know that's happened? Don't be surprised when a child comes and they're about to leave the home, go out and live on their own. Mom, Dad, there's something I gotta tell you before I leave. I'm gay. Where'd you get that? What makes you think you're that way? Not that all negative things are the fault of social media, but we have to be aware that our adversary is out there and he's trying to destroy us. And if we give a surface look to something, oh, that looks okay, without realizing that there are some sinister activities to that. You're looking at a picture of someone you admire. Oh, I like that. Oh, I want to follow that. You're opening yourself up for someone you don't know that may be presenting themselves falsely as a 17-year-old handsome male athlete. He may be a 38-year-old. You can fill in the rest, but he's after something that he doesn't need to be after. You don't know. But what you do know is this. We're not unaware of what Satan is doing. We are not ignorant of his schemes. Paul told that to Christians in the first century. And in this century, we don't need to be ignorant of them either. There are influences and information found on social media that will exhort young people to become aggressive toward others, defiant toward their parents. And they'll get to the point where we're not having this conversation. I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say. Where did all that come from? It's encouraged through an avenue like this. It makes it extremely difficult for parents to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Smart devices and social media have negatively impacted our families. Today's families develop serious disagreements, because of social media usage. Parents trying to limit the amount of time their children stay on it. Privacy concerns. You want to upset a teenager more than any other way? You just invade their privacy. Check out what the sites they've been looking at. Who they've been communicating with. You want to see some mad teenagers, that'll surely do it. But I want to tell you this, parents have every right to know what their teenagers are doing. You're living in their house. They're paying your bills. They're feeding you. They ought to be able to know what you're looking at on your device and who you're talking to on your phone. They have that right because God has given them the responsibility to bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Abraham commanded his children and his household after him to do what? Keep the way of the Lord. That's what godly parents do. The devil's going to see to it that he can throw a monkey wrench in that and keep parents from doing what they need to do. Social media and smart devices impact a person's mental health. You're not unaware of this. In recent years, there have been more and more instances brought to the public's knowledge about cyberbullying, bullying other children, trying to crush and eliminate any bright spot in the life of a young person, and it's all coming through social media. You know, there have been many suicides as a result of that. Young people feeling so bad about themselves, they figure the way out, the only way out, is to take my own life. That's very sad, isn't it? Very sad that we've come to that in our society. Not to mention all the anxiety and the depression and the loneliness and social comparison that people do, where others see the good that somebody has, or they see how well-dressed they are, how handsome or how pretty they are. I want to be like that. And many times it's fake. It's not even real. People get concerned about their body images. People have gone into various eating disorders because of the shaming and harassment and bullying and self-harm that there's been on these platforms. Young people isolate themselves. They become lonely. And that's a mental health problem. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we're not bold to class or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. But social media is there to get our young people to do that. Paul says, don't do that. That's not a good avenue to go down. And social media will expose us to negative influencers when the Bible tells us to not be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. These are the movie stars and the celebrities of social media. They have hundreds and thousands of followers and everyone wants to follow them. Why? Parents have lost control of who's influencing their children. Influence and information found on social media compel our young people to contemplate and imagine what a different lifestyle would be like, including sodomy, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia. Not good. Do parents want the influences of their, be the influence of their children, or do they want the tablet to do that? They want to do that. Some parents are learning that by the time they talk to their children about spiritual things, their opinions and their values have already been established. And they might say, the world wasn't created. Everything came into being by evolution. Or mom and dad, I don't believe in God. Anything and everything can come into their minds. Anything and everything can come into their minds. Now with that thought in mind, look at this. Psalm 101 in verse 3. I will set no worthless thing before before my eyes. That seems to be prophetic, doesn't it? I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. That's what a psalmist said. Remember, whatever you do in word or deed, do all by the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. Romans 12, verse 9, abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. Titus 2, the grace of God has appeared, teaching us or instructing, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Proverbs 1, 15 to 16, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. How many parents do you think there are in this country who are absolutely horrified to learn that their child has taken a weapon and taken somebody else's life? The influence is not good. Thank you for your patience in listening to me today. I appreciate that so much. It's an important subject. Parents and children. If you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, we'd like to invite you to become one. All you have to do is follow what the gospel teaches. We didn't add anything to it, showing any changes. Jesus sent his apostles into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And those who believed were benefited. What did they believe? They believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And once you do that, you'll do whatever he says to enjoy the blessings that he has available for you. Forgiveness. You'll repent of your sins. You'll confess him before men. You'll be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll strive to learn more about God every day. You won't know it all at the beginning, and that's okay. You grow spiritually through time. But keep up. Study God's Word. Grow spiritually. You'll develop the things that the Lord wants you to develop. And He will bring you home with Him in eternity. We can help you in your response to the invitation of Christ today. Please come to the front and tell me about it. While together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song selected. Thank you.